I'm just trying to think of the fact that you, you're a great pumper. You do know how to pump.
Hey, well, what business am I in, brother?
You're one of those people in the old days would have been the spruiker outside the store. Come on in.
And looking to...
There's a bargain within.
I did that at Uncle Paul's shop. Uncle Paul's closing down.
You actually stood outside, did you?
It's all got to go after 37 years. This family-owned business is closing down and nothing can remain. Come on in and thank Paul Zempelis for years of service to the city. Come in and take something home. Look the best dressed in your street. Come in and see Uncle Paul. All the family are here. 37 years and Paul's Apparel is closing its doors this week.
That's terrific. Why don't you just record it and just keep playing it over and over again?
Because it's not the same without the personal touch. Right. The bloke standing at the front. Never seen it. And I worked at Uncle Paul's shop on and off over school holidays for 10 years.
Yeah.
I'd never seen it as busy as that. It was like there was not a square, there was not a vacant square inch of shop. But it was closing down special and it was lovely. It's a great thing to be a part of.
So let's work through all the jobs you've had, because I've had a lot, but I'm keen to have. What was your very first job that you ever did?
Time clock operator. I did a paper round, you know, community news or one of those things.
And so delivering to letterboxes?
Yep.
Actually, how old were you?
Maybe
then?
That came after. In year 10, I wrote to Peter Bowler at the WAFL, and I said, Peter, the small scoreboard at Subiaco Oval, the manual one that was on the fence, so it was close to the waffle members.
Yep.
Just around a little bit towards
the
forward
pocket. And if you're
on the
other side of the ground, it was vital, yeah.
And I saw that and I had an opportunity and I wrote to Peter Bowler, who was the general manager of the WAFL at the time, and said, I think I'm well skilled for a job like that because I know football, play football, I go to the football all the time. And he wrote back and said, that job is taken for next year. But the job of the manual time clock operator is available. You know, the old big clock?
Yeah.
And so I got that job. I think it was $25 a day. I had to do the Colts, the reserves, and the league.
Terrific.
I had to arrive at 9 o'clock for the bounce of the ball in the Colts. And I didn't finish until 5 o'clock. Although what I worked out was I was able to start the clock a couple of minutes before the start of the last quarter. It was no good if it was a tense game, to be honest. And the clock would wind up to zero. I'd get it about right, and then I'd let it run. So I could leave at the start of the last quarter.
Really?
Mm.
So, yeah, okay. I didn't know that.
And you used to climb. So next to the old scoreboard, the old manual scoreboard.
Yeah, I know where it was.
Was the old time clock.
So tell me, did you get do the finals as well?
Yeah, everything.
So grand final day, you were perched
up
there.
I was there. Perfect spot.
Wow.
Perfect.
Did you invite your mates up?
I from time to time would have a friend come up and it was great fun. I loved it.
My most scariest job as far as that, I worked on the Wacker scoreboard. I got one of my first jobs was parking cars out at Gloucester Park, which the Wacker would hire from Gloucester Park.
Yeah.
And I remember parking Wally Foreman's car.
Wow.
And, you know, Wally Foreman, wow. And he was a very polite, very happy fellow. Yeah. It was always good to kind of chat with.
Mm.
But all the who's who's of cricket were parking this place.
Yeah.
So we got to meet them all. It was great. But I got a job working in the scoreboard. Now, if you've never been inside the Wacker scoreboard, when they pull all the plates out and you're up the very top, it's very high.
Right.
In fact, if you fell out, all they had was a bit of wire and a bit of barbed wire at the bottom to stop people climbing up it.
Right.
It was pretty scary. Right? Yeah. And you're holding, these things weren't light, and you were trying to put in, you know, change WA to Victoria or vice versa.
Yeah.
And then the top batsman right at the top.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of balancing precariously up there and not wanting to fall out. But the blokes there, they've all been there for years. And when it got really hot, they used to take all their clothes off and just sit in their underwear.
That's right.
You know, the old Bond jocks and singlets. And they just walk around with that. That's all they had on. You didn't think about it because.
No, that's what they did.
Yeah, that's what they did.
I think, when I think back now, I think that was a bold. It was quite bold in about year 9 or year 10 to write to Peter Bowler. I'd seen him on TV and seen him interviewed. I mean, I knew everything about football in that stage.
Yeah.
There was my knowledge of footy then compared to my knowledge of footy now, I was far superior back then.
So what's the best job you've had then? So you started off with Uncle Paul. You started off
working on the scoreboard. I worked at Lalba Cafe, which was on the corner of the old Piscineries, on the corner of Lake and Newcastle Street.
What did you do there?
I used to run the orders out and take orders. Okay. I was a waiter. Yeah,
right.
I worked at my brother-in-law Kevin's shop.
Doing?
He had the coffee lounge at at Sir Charles Gardner Hospital.
Right, as a waiter?
Yeah, sort of kitchen hand, more kitchen hand, to be honest, right. Out the back, cleaning the dishes. And that brother-in-law, same brother-in-law, Kevin, he got the franchise for Smart Carts out at the Perth Airport. He brought Smart Carts with John Mackay, who used to be the goal umpire. He was the boss of the goal umpires, and he was a goal umpire himself. They'd worked together at a place called The Junction out in Midland, and they took on the franchise for Smart Carts together. And I would work at the airport pulling the carts. So, you know, when all the carts would get left out near the car park, I'd be the bloke that would go around, collect them and bring them into the machine, and I'd get the 20-cent refund for each of the...
How did he get the rights to that?
He went to America, he saw them, and he asked, and he brought the rights to Australia. He was the first to bring the rights to Australia for Smart Carts. So they're still here.
Did he on-sell that eventually?
He did, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he did. I think he sold it to his partner, who then on-sold it.
Did they have the rights to the whole country?
No, I don't believe they did, although they may have been the ones that introduced it to the other places, so they may have sort of somehow been involved. That. Yes.
Righto.
So I did that. What else have I done? There's a lot more. I've had a crack at a lot of things and loved it. The best thing about it was working with people.
What was your first showbiz job, though?
That's a good question. I don't know why it doesn't. So I worked at the Sunday Times, by the way. So my very first job in media, paid job, was through Wally Foreman, believe it or not.
Doing the athletics.
We're doing the athletics.
Right.
Where I took over from Jim Warner's dad.
That's your first exposure.
Yeah.
And Jeff was a legend, by the way, in that era.
Yeah.
That was your first exposure to the media.
No, I had done the breakfast show on RTRFM when it first reopened.
How old were you then?
I was at uni. And I was about 20.
And what kind of show did you have then?
Well, Rob Fletcher was my boss. Right. And I used to get in trouble from Rob Fletcher for playing poppy music all the time.
Right.
Because at RTR, you were supposed to play stuff, you know, off the beaten track. It was so boring, the stuff they used to play.
Since we returned to air in June last year,
here I am.
More and more people have shown their support for RTR-FM by becoming a subscriber.
This is Joe Camilleri from the Black Sparrows.
This is B.B. King.
I'm Penny Cook.
This is Matthew from Coldells and True.
This is Simon Holmes from the Hummingbirds.
This is John from Nedgerton Industry.
This is Abdul TJ.
Support your local radio station, RTR-FM.
Join me in supporting RTR-FM.
Support RTR, please.
So, by subscribing to RTRFM, you help keep public radio.
Didn't sound
alive.
That bad, actually. Normally, you hear that.
No, yeah, you sound pretty good. Your diction was very good at that.
Not too bad. I did have good diction. My mum impressed that upon me. It was just all in. It was all in. I just saw it all as opportunity. I thought, how good is this? You get paid to work.
Tomorrow, we'll look at Basil's past partners in crime.
Right.
As the series continues throughout this week.
Well, what about you? When was your first gig?
I've had so many jobs. I honestly have had so many jobs. The one I really remember was my first real job was probably working at Torben's Paints.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mixing paint and that in the paint shop. And then you go into the lunchroom. It was the first time I was exposed to naked photos of women. And it was all over the lunchroom. I couldn't wait to have lunch every day. It was just an intriguing place to be.
Mm.
So different to my upbringing.
16 minutes after 5. Good memories.